Well, I'm talking this morning about friendship. Just for clarity, this is not friendship evangelism, where, you remember, some time ago, people were encouraged to make friends with non-Christians and use that as a basis for sharing the gospel. This is very much talking about friendship within our fellowship, within our Christian community. My thinking started on this, actually probably longer than just the church conference. It started about 15 months ago when Morris, if you recall, moved all the way over to Lincoln. Morris was one of the trustees, and he was obviously missing the friendship that he had in the fellowship. So I arranged with Martin, Steve and I, who were three other trustees, to have a pilgrimage. Now don't be alarmed. You know, this is a pilgrimage that went from Navenby to Lincoln Cathedral, and we stopped off at the different parish churches along the way. We agreed before we started what we were going to pray for, what we were going to give thanks for. And so we enjoyed quite a long walk, about 10 miles, and fellowship, time together, prayer. It was really good. In fact, since then, we've done a couple more. The second one, I think, nearly killed Martin, because that was 14 miles. Third one nearly killed Morris, because he had to catch a taxi. And then we've done a couple more with Dave, Jeff, Mike, Roger, and some of them. So we've done quite a few. And on each one, we plan to stop at parish churches. I'm getting better at organising that, because they actually open up these parish churches, especially for us. Or one of them even puts on tea and coffee for us, which is absolutely wonderful. But certainly we realise that it's a good way of building friendships and relationships. Sorry, did I mention Roger? Because you came on the last one. I don't know if I mentioned you on that list. And so it was a wonderful time to build relationships and friendships. Then there was also Warm Spaces, where a group of us were at different times helping out at Warm Spaces at the Cross. I found that that was a good time when you got to actually know people that you wouldn't have otherwise maybe spoken to on a Sunday. You know, we had cake and we had soup and we had coffee and we played board games some of the times. And it was out of that that the idea came to do what we're doing straight after the meeting, which was soup and cream tea, etc. So that came out of that group. And then the other one was the conference I went to in February. Now, one of the afternoon sessions was on friendship. And it was using some research that has taken place. There wasn't just Christian, it was a sort of secular one. And basically the findings were that there is an international crisis of loneliness and isolation. And some of the statistics were quite worrying. 20% of people say they don't have a good friend. 10% of people say they don't have any friends at all. And even more worrying was that 30% of church leaders say that they don't have a good friend. Other than a friend in Jesus, obviously. But we're talking here about friends down here. It's been described as an epidemic. Apparently it's got far worse after the pandemic, because of course it became, you know, we were forbidden from meeting up with people because they were a danger to us. I mean, you know, that doesn't do anything for relationships really at all, does it? What was pretty horrible though was that it said that the effect on people's health of loneliness and isolation is the equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Ooh. I mean, that is pretty bad. However, the research said that the two best places for developing friendships are sports clubs and churches.
Yay!
So that's us both. Yeah? So we're in the right place to get rid of isolation and loneliness. The session as well looked at, in the New Testament, the three different Greek words that are used that we translate as love. So the first one, and a lot of you are probably familiar with this, the first one is eros, and that is a romantic sexual love. Second one is philia, which is friendship, sort of simple friendship. And agape is the love that's typically, well, which we've been shown by God through Jesus. That's the selfless, self-sacrificing love. And what it was saying is that in the world, in the, you know, wider secular society, philia has been replaced by eros. So everything is around sex and romance rather than simple friendship. And in churches, philia tends to have been upstaged by agape. Now, you could recognise there's some truth in that, although I think that the second one does need a bit of looking at, because obviously as believers, we have agape love, that selfless, self-sacrificing love amongst us, one for another. I think what the point meant was that if Christians only practice self-sacrificing love, it can become quite isolating, hard work, thankless, and exhausting. It can lead to burnout. And interestingly, if you look in the New Testament, when people were in the body of Christ and were in the churches, that agape love actually flowed between everyone. So it wasn't a case of an individual always working hard and becoming exhausted. It was actually mutual. So for example, if you were to do someone a good turn, do them a favour, help them out or whatever, that can be done in a self-sacrificing way. Now, if that person who received that blessing from you was to come along and do something in return, often the person say, oh no, I didn't do that, you know, to have the favour returned, which is fair enough. However, if the person comes back to them and said, oh, I'm only doing this as a thank you, as a show of appreciation for what you did to me, not as a debt repayment, that straight away then shows you that this love and favour can start to flow amongst the whole body of Christ. And that's really important, that it does flow amongst everyone and is not down to a few hard-working people, which actually Tracy was talking about just a few minutes ago. So we do need to have agape love flowing amongst us, and that does include friendship. So if we look in John 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So there's Jesus' instruction, that we have to love one another. And that is the basis of the friendship and the fellowship. If we look further in the Bible, were there any friends in the Bible? Well, we had David and Jonathan, well known. King David and Abiathar. Elijah and Elisha were good friends. Ruth and Naomi. And if you look at Paul's ministry, whenever he wrote to the churches, he always referred to his friends and the faithful of the Lord in very warm, well, usually warm terms. Some were told off. But it was clearly friendship that was going on. And if you look through a lot of the New Testament, we as believers are referred to as brothers and sisters in Christ. And the fact that we're referred to as brothers and sisters shows there is effectively a divine family relationship with us, between us all, and that is the basis of friendship as well. For example, in Acts 21 verse 17, it says, when we arrived, the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem welcomed us warmly. So, we are all brothers and sisters. We are all in God's family, and we're all related in that sense. So what's the benefits of friends? Well, for a start, you have people to talk with, other than yourself. It's far more fulfilling to talk to other people. You've got people you can depend on whenever you need some support. You've got people that you can grow with. That's growing in faith and in character. And that can be done through encouraging one another in whatever we're doing and also in our faith. We can enjoy the company of like-minded people because we do have Jesus in common. That does make a big difference to our minds. And we have people that we can do fun activities with. Yeah, being a Christian, we still do have fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not all hair shirts. Even on the pilgrimages, we don't wear hair shirts. Wow. Yeah, there may be some suffering, but it wasn't intentional. In terms of having friends as well, in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 12, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Then later on it says, three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So can you imagine if three is better, what's it like with 50 or 100? Yeah, that is fantastic. That is much, much better. Now if we look at building friendships, so it's one thing to say, you know, we should have friendships within our fellowship, but they do actually require building. So there's three main areas on how you build friendship. One of them is time. So you need to actually prioritise friendships. You need to give them enough time and sometimes be an initiator, not just always wait for other people to, you know, do the friendship thing. It involves talking with one another, showing genuine interest in what we would have to say, how people are feeling, notice emotions, etc. So we have to talk. And the other thing is activities. So this is something that's pointed out. It can be fellowship, kingdom activities like prayer, Bible study, worship, and other things which maybe aren't considered kingdom building, but actually are, if it's done correctly, like hiking, shared meals, socialising, sports. I know that Morris and I think it's Harvey and a couple of others used to play squash on a Sunday night. I think it took its toll on knees, didn't it? hobbies is another one that can be enjoyed. And also providing support. So, you know, we've had a couple of people who've been in hospital, things like that, and meals have been provided. Those are valid activities and they build friendship and mutual dependency. The important thing is to never take friendship for granted or assume it. It does actually require time and effort to establish, but also to maintain. Because if friendships aren't maintained, they can start to wane. I mean, the good thing is the easiest friendship to establish is one that's been waning for a while, because it doesn't take much to get it back. But, you know, we mustn't neglect friendship. Now, when we do establish friendship groups, it's quite natural that people with shared interests or things in common would naturally form groups. That's a good thing. So, for example, if you've got families with similar age children, it's quite natural that you'd start to, you know, meet up together because the children play together and also you're going through all the trials and tribulations the same, whether it be babies crying at night waking you up, or, you know, how do you sterilise those bottles, so I've got this new gadget. You know, there's all sorts of things that you have in common that's quite good to share. Retired people, you know, have often got a lot more time on their hands, and so, you know, they can do things together. People who share sports and hobbies and interests would quite naturally form groups. However, you do have to watch out for some of the pitfalls of when you actually have smaller groups within a fellowship. The first one would be making sure you don't form a clique or an exclusive group, that you get on so well with these other people that other people feel excluded. So, you know, the people who are suffering loneliness and isolation, they're not allowed to join a group. Now they're going to have that rejection added to that. So they've now got three problems, which is not going to be kind, is it? So, I mean, there are some exceptions to that. where if a group get together because some particular person needs support, then sometimes it needs to be limited. But by and large, we need to make sure that groups are open and wide. The next thing is gossip. Sometimes friendship groups can become a hotbed of gossip, which can be quite damaging. It says in Romans 1:29, their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarrelling, deception, malicious behaviour and gossip. Seems a bit harsh that they've rated gossip in a list with hate, envy and murder and greed, but gossip can be quite destructive. So we have to be really cautious that gossip doesn't creep in. Infidelity is another risk with relationships. Next one, exploitation and thanklessness. Now this is very much what Tracy referred to earlier on. You know, when we're actually in a group and people are doing things, we have to be careful that it's not always the same few or one or two that basically do all the work and never get any thanks for it. Because that usually leads to, you know, often leads to exhaustion and people will, you know, give up. It's usually down to people not being very thoughtful rather than, you know, a spirit of exploitation. You know, and there are some people who kind of are quite happy to be exploited. I know it's a bit controversial. Because they think that having agape love means that you have to keep going and going and keep giving and giving to the point of exhaustion. And that's not really how Jesus was. I mean, he was never exploited. He did show self-sacrificing love in all the things that he did, and we are all the beneficiaries of that. If we hadn't had that, we wouldn't be here. But Jesus was very purposeful in what he did. You know, if you look in the Old Testament, do you remember in Exodus with the children of Israel having to make all the bricks? And then they were told they had to make more bricks by the Egyptians. And then they had to go and find their own straw and make more bricks. They didn't have to have more time to do it in. You know, I have heard, you know, people say, well, you know, for people of God, we ought to be making more bricks than anybody, and we should be making better bricks than anybody. Well, that isn't what God said. God said, yeah, I've heard their groans and I'm going to get them out of there. You know, so we mustn't get this idea that, you know, somehow we have to, you know, kill ourselves and be exploited. What we have to do is to share the gospel and show kindness and agape love, but know where the limit is, okay? And know when to say no. And know when to help other people so that you actually share the workload that's going on and be thankful for what people do. And another one I've written down is you might meet people who rub you up the wrong way. Yeah, it does happen a lot. Well, not a lot. It does happen. Hope it's not a lot. But no, sometimes, you know, you might spend time with people that you might find irritating or just annoying some of the time. Well, under those circumstances, we need to pray for ourselves and pray for the other person. And I point you to Colossians 3, verse 12 to 14, and it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So if you do have any issues, think of Colossians 3:14, and that's the remedy, okay? So forgive them, and bear with them, and love them. Hebrews 10 as well, verse 24 to 25, says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So let me read that one again. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Now, as we spend more time together, we need to encourage one another and motivate each other to love and good works, which is ideal when we're meeting with other believers. And we must not neglect our meeting together. You know, I say in recent church history, since the pandemic, there have been some people who have begun to neglect meeting together as a Christian fellowship. And it is important that as believers, we do meet together, because that's when the Holy Spirit of God can move amongst us. Even if we're in a social setting, if we're full of the Holy Spirit, we can actually minister to one another. And that is what builds us up and encourages us. So we do need to keep meeting together and encouraging one another. So, in conclusion, we need to invest in developing widespread, strong, deep and long-lasting friendships within our fellowship with one another. The love of God, that agape love, should flow between us, so that people will know that we are disciples of Jesus. We need to spend time together, talking, fellowshipping, worshipping, and doing things together. So, if you've got any ideas that you might have of things that you would like to do and you think other people might like to do them, well, have a chat to Martin, Harvey or I. And what we can do is to see what we can organise that would be of mutual benefit to one and everyone. Okay. Thanks, everyone.